Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the August 12th edition of the Ag Market Network. I'm Pat McClatchy. We want to recognize our sponsor, BASF, for making this program possible. We thank them. They're a long-time sponsor, and we appreciate everything they do for us. Today's program is led by Dr. O.A. Cleveland. He's being joined by Dr. John Robinson and Gerald Nieper. O.A., thanks for leading us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. I use the word Californians won't understand, but it's popular everywhere else. This report was hot as Hades. Californians have another word for Hades, but we good folks in the South don't say things like that. But as we suggested last week, last month, that report last month was bullish as heck, and we had to expect it was bullish in the fact that the market did not go down. So it was telling us that we were missing something. Now, I miss an awful lot of things, but what struck me today was world beginning stocks. They lowered that, and I'm rounding the numbers off, guys. Y'all can correct me. They lowered world beginning stocks 3.5 million bales just from last month. And they took that major reduction, basically out of China. They lowered Chinese beginning stocks 3.5 million bales, and we'll see that works completely through the system. They estimated production at 117.6 million bales, and that's down about 2.5 million from last month's estimate. And they got most of that from the United States by reducing the crop here by 1.9 million and then taking India down a 500,000 bales. So the two locations that we were expecting to see major declines, we did see. I did not anticipate that the U.S. crop would be lowered that much, though I have been hearing some awful bullish comments with respect to prices, very bearish with respect to price size, both from the Mid-South and from Texas. Consumption, they took consumption down also a million bales, down to 116.2 million, and that they took basically that entire hit came out of China, lowering Chinese consumption by a million bales. The text that runs through all of this is that they had severely overestimated the Chinese economic activity, the Chinese cotton numbers. Those had been severely overestimated for the past year. Also, on the export side, world trade was down a million bales, and that basically came out of the United States. We've talked at length about the United States losing market share to Brazil principally, but losing market share, and the entire reduction in world trade down a million bales from the United States. A little bit of reduction in the franc zone of 120,000 bales, but that basically was what was the downside. And guys, feel very free to correct me. I have not seen a hard copy of the report. I've been tied up in a couple of medical offices, so I've only been able to glean some numbers as I could. The carryover, again, 77.6 million bales, which gives rise to my comment about this report being hot as Hades from a bullish standpoint. The U.S. carryover was lowered 800,000 bales. Chinese carryover still taking this beginning stocks issue of 3.5 million bales, flowing that on through. The Chinese carryover was lowered 4 million bales from about 41 million down to 37 million. Fairly significant there. What I see in the report is that the numbers tell me that demand is extremely weak. I think most of us know that, in my opinion. I've preached it and written about it till I'm sick of writing about it, and I'm sure that anybody that's left still reading anything I write. They're sick of me writing about it, but it is the main feature in the market. This what I'm going to say is upcoming increase in prices is not based on demand. It's based strictly on supply, and we do not have particularly strong markets that are supply-based. We look at the big box stores. They're all on the quarter. I better not say all. That's a little too inclusive. But most all had fairly significant downturn in sales this past quarter, and that just tells us that that cotton is not being consumed. Not only, but also cotton-rich apparel not being consumed. We have just lost any moxie that we had, and we had it at one time, to promote U.S. cotton. We just walked away and abandoned that. The final thing to me in the report is that USDA did estimate prices were 2 cents lower than where they thought they would be last month. The average farm price was down, their estimate down 2 cents on the month. That being said, please correct my numbers, because while I've seen them, I've not seen a hard copy where I could truly analyze them. I would say I'm still just as bullish this month as I was last month, and I hesitate to use the word bullish because with lack of demand, we can't have a bull market, but we still take this market up a dime. Thank you, Pat.
All right. John or Gerald, your thoughts?
Well, I was a bit surprised in the U.S. adjustments, thinking about what occasionally happens in August in the old days was that USDA would release field sampling of yield data, which they've shelved that source of data. So they're relying on surveys and maybe satellite imagery, you know, new kind of stuff. But I didn't really... frankly, I was expecting kind of a minimal adjustment sort of report, and I'd have to give USDA some credit. Whatever data collection sources they're using, they're moving bold with them to make this level of an adjustment. I found that surprising, but maybe the brave new world that we're in.
Well, John, you know, I'm sure they were taking some of that, you know, that FSA data, you know, when growers certify acres, but...
Yeah, correct,
you know, in September and October, we could very well see an upward adjustment in some of those acres. I guess, I don't know. You know, they don't have not everybody is certified yet, are they? To your knowledge?
No. To my knowledge, which is not very good. Well, the acreage adjustment was part of it, but then they raised abandonment and they lowered yield, and I'm assuming they're basing that, like I say, on survey efforts, and like I say, I don't know if they're using satellite kind of stuff to look down and guess biomass and yield or not. I know there's research in that area, and they use that in other crops.
Well, what's interesting is they did raise the Texas abandonment, and they don't even have, and we may not even get a clear picture of full Texas abandonment until we get into, you know, at least October. That might not even show up finally until, you know, January in terms of a final number. So
it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while because there's a lot of standing cotton that passed the stand test but may not pass the bull count test when the time comes, but it'll be, like you say, a while before that is resolved.
You know, I think the thing that, you know, this report aside, you look at last week's export sales report, and they had late reporting of export shipments of 600,000 bales. Late reporting. I mean, somebody didn't report. I don't think it was maliciously done. It could have easily been a new person in a position who just, you know, wasn't quite up to speed with how things worked and maybe got misreported. But you know, it did have the impact of making things look maybe more bearish than they really were. You know, as USDA kept ratcheting down final export shipments based upon, you know, this faulty data. So, you know, hopefully that's getting resolved within USDA and whoever they survey out there, whoever they talk to amongst the trade to get this, to get these numbers reported on a on a more up to date basis, so to speak. I'm not saying that we wouldn't have fallen below 70 cents had we had all that information ahead of time, but I don't know that we would have fallen to 66.55 either. Prior to this report, we may still get back down there again. You know, you just don't know. But these big swings and these numbers is very disconcerting if you're trying to figure out where you need to price your crop. That's for darn sure.
Things that make a market. I would have said that absolutely without question we were going to 67 cents. I make more mistakes than the rest of y'all, but you not thinking that and me absolutely all but guaranteeing it to some people. Of course, I got pretty nervous when it got to 67 and a few cents. And I said, well, maybe it's going to be 66 cents. But I think that to me it was not the export report and the way you look at it, I didn't see that as bearish. I felt like the market knew that somehow or another those adjustments were in fact going to come, and they were fairly expected. Now, we didn't know how they would come, but their eventual impact on the market, if anything, I thought would take the market even a little bit lower, all the way down to 66 cents. But I just, given this crop size, but more specifically given world carryover and where it's located, I think that the market has seen its bottom, and we do go back up. That's just my 10-cent opinion.
You know, you could very well be right on that in terms of, hey, listen, maybe that's why the market didn't fall any further, you know. Because there was some suspicion that there was something wrong with the numbers out there, so you could very well be correct on that assumption. So maybe I need to reframe my commentary.
No, that's all right. There's just some other things you might refrain from, but we won't be able to correct all those. But what makes me terribly, terribly nervous is starting to look at the on-call purchases. They're getting awfully big, and certainly relative to on-call sales. Trying to balance out what we know about foreign production being listed as in on-call sales and on-call purchases, that's just getting harder and harder as y'all get older and older.
There was something that came up before we got started I wanted to bring up, and that was a great influence on the market at times are these large commodity funds, and these are large speculators. And at this point, these large funds are on balance pretty short the market. Gerald, I'd just like to ask you the question of what does it take for these short funds to start covering or buying back their contracts? And as they do that, that typically is a better sign that you're turning the market back up. What are your thoughts on that, and where does it need to get up to before we really start to see some short covering?
Well, I think you probably saw a little bit of that today, no doubt, Pat, and might have been short covering from either A, just guys being nervous, or B, guys going, hey, listen, I made some pretty good dough. Let me go ahead and get out of the market and see, you know, kind of reevaluate where we're going. But I don't think the big volume, you know, the more I look at this, I don't know that the big volume won't start hitting until, A, you get over the 20-day moving average, which closed today at 20-day? No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a 50-day moving average, 71.23. And then you've got you had a high on 7/15 of 7,300. I think above 7,300, you'll kick in some more short covering, and it'll probably kick into high gear once you get above 7,584. But so let's just call it 7,300 to 7,600 is going to be a real interesting area for these speculators to decide if they're going to get out or maybe turn around and go long. Kind of hard to see them going long in any big way, but certainly they could flatten out their record net short position right now. So 73 to 76 cents, Pat, in that area, I think you're going to have a whole big slew of stops if you can get back up into that area.
Well, I guess the question is, and this kind of goes over to the question of how high can we go, if we do see that happen, how high could it carry this market technically?
Oh, you know, getting back to OA's commentary about the on-call purchases, you know, there's a lot of grower selling sitting above this market. But, you know, I was messing around with some numbers yesterday and just kind of technical stuff, and I'm thinking, well, you got a shot at it. You could make a case for 81 cents. I don't know that you could make a good case for 81 cents, but, you know, you can make a case for it. But realistically, if we can get back up to 76 to 78 cents, I think guys would have dodged a big bullet. That's for darn sure this year.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Well, Gerald knows a whole lot more about this than I do, but I can't help but think that we'll see short covering beginning next week if, in fact, we can move above 70 cents and close above 70 cents. I recognize his 71.50, 71.70 as being principally and very, very important, and we definitely need to get there. But I think from a psychological standpoint, if we can get to 70.50, 70.80, 70.90, I think that psychological indicator is strong enough for the shorts to say, hey, I better run. And as we get in moving into 73 cents, I would think that they run out entirely. To me, it's Gerald, 76 cents is too high. I think they're gone. If they're not out, they're probably in bankruptcy court by then. They've lost so much money. I'm scared to death of these on-call purchases. This idea that John brought up, I think it was John, about what kind of report will we get next month. Maybe it was Gerald. And the discussion about the new technology and all of that, I think USDA is absolutely sold on it. They better be. They're using it. And I don't think they would use it if they were not absolutely sold and not field tested. That's something we won't know, probably won't ever know for a while, but I'm going to accept their numbers. I've second-guessed them probably as much as, if not well more than most, but I'm going to accept that methodology. And it also bothers me that crop taking a 1.2, 1.5 million bale drop this month. It negates the seed varieties that growers have been given, been developed in the last several years and continue to be developed, and how productive those seed are. And I think most everybody I talked to said last month's report is going to be the high water mark for yield. So if this is not the low mark, I think it's going to be close to the low mark. So, you know, that's why they do these reports every week, every month. These things change, so maybe the crop size starts to grow a little bit, and that would temper my outlook. But I'll just say again, 80 cents on the top side based on what we're seeing now. But cotton's got to figure out some kind of way if it wants to get back in the promotion business. It's getting beat up every time you turn around.
Okay. Well, it seems like we've kind of gotten into the forecasting here. John, go ahead and give us your thoughts about where you think the market can go.
Oh, if I was going to, I'd say 68, 78. I've frankly been surprised to see the hedge fund short position building in these last couple of weeks. You know, we've had hurricanes and we've had excess rains after hurricanes here, and we've had everything turn off super dry, hot across the state. So, OA was talking the psychological influence of that. That sure would have scared me if I was thinking about yield potential, and it didn't them. So that just kind of leaves me wondering. It's hot. It's projected to stay hot. I think that's going to take its toll on yield potential here, and we'll have to see how it works out.
All right. Let's do something we haven't done in a few months. Let's open it up and see if anybody out there has any questions. If you're listening, I'm going to open this. We're going to take it off mute. If you've got a question for our group, please let us know. If it gets loud, we'll have to mute it again. But we'll go ahead and open it up, and if you've got a question for anybody on our panel, please go ahead. Feel free to ask it. All right. Anybody got a question of our group or any statements they'd like to make?
I have a call, statement to make.
Go ahead.
If we don't get these cotton prices up, you're not going to have any cotton farmers left to talk and discuss about where the price is going to.
Where's this market got to get for that to be for that to be better?
Well, you're 20 cents away from break even. I'm the only cotton farmer left you're talking to in Washington County, and there used to be 100 gins, and now there's just one cotton farmer in the whole county, and I'm having to take my cotton to McGee to have it ginned. And I don't see how, not only cotton, but corn and beans as well. It's fixing to be very devastating come fall with the banks.
All right. Any comments from our speakers?
I take it that was Washington County, Mississippi.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm going to make a very unpopular comment, but I said it when I was working full
time. I'm sorry, Ola. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's a very unpopular comment, but I've made it throughout my career, and I only get egg in my face from growers. But, and I hate to say it, but it's true. I mean, nothing is truer. The market could care less about my home state of Mississippi and in a county where I used to live, where my son was born, Washington County. The market could care less about that. If we can't do it where my son was born at the Greenville Hospital, they'll do it in Pakistan, India, Brazil. Brazil's doing it already. Brazil is cleaning our lives. Not only from a production standpoint, but more importantly, in my estimation, from a marketing standpoint. We've greatly rolled over and played dead in promoting cotton and just let the crop go. And I'm very sympathetic to 80 cents. It doesn't cover your profit. What the market is telling you, unfortunately, is that it does not want you as a cotton grower. And that's sad. It's sad for me being a Mississippi guy. It's sad for me having worked at Stoneville for several years. But that's all the market cares about. The market cares about the least cost producer, whether he's in China, Bangladesh. I ain't got grown in Bangladesh, really. A little bit in Vietnam. But Brazil. I thought India was going to be the place that took our market, but it's turning out to be Brazil. And that's the sad fact. So don't get too mad at me, but I told someone my job was to be optimistic and encourage cotton growers and encourage cotton production, but at the same time, I had to be brutally honest. So I'll just shut up. I think 80 cents is coming. I think we've got to wait a while for it. But other than that, to get more than that, you're going to have to wait until at least the May, July of 2025 time period. Another unpopular comment, our economy, some people disagree, but just look at what's happened while I've been, since I've preached this for 9 months. It's in shambles. You hear people throw out statistics about how good it is. Well, the two things, statistics lie, and the second thing is liars use statistics. Until we can do something about this economy, we are in deep trouble. Somebody asked me, well, we're getting ready to have a reduction in the Fed rate. That's going to make the U.S. dollar, it's going to change the U.S. dollar ratio with other currencies, and we'll be able to sell more cotton. The dollar ratio is not a problem this year and probably won't be for several years. Brazil is the problem you're facing. You can lower interest rates. The Fed can take it down to zero. Brazil's going to meet you at the cotton mill door, and he's going to be first there. That's what you got to grow up and learn. Try it. You got to figure out some way to start promoting U.S. cotton again. I'm off of my high horse. Thank you.
All right. Any other thoughts?
Real quick, Pat. If we do within this summer have a short covering rally like we've been talking about, and prices get taken to the upper 70s or to 80 cents, the dynamics of that, I would not expect that to be the kind of thing that would, oh, high prices are here and then I'm going to continue to wait. If they're going to last long, I wouldn't expect them to last long, but I would expect that to be kind of a fleeting gift.
John, I agree with you, but that would be the tail end of the second year in a row where prices kind of crash, and our buddy there in the Greenville area, he won't want to plant cotton at all. There'll be a lot of folks that won't want to plant cotton next year. And while it won't be the price rally is not going to go very high, I think it will have some legs on it simply because of where world carryover is today. It's that low in my opinion. We're so scared of a war, and we're closer probably than ever before, whenever or wherever it be. And we've not had any mention of all the problems that we've seen in Bangladesh, which is, what, our third most important market now. They seem to be back online, but USDA's prediction with respect to their consumption has not changed. But some mills have been shut down for over a month there. Thank you.
Any other thoughts?
I don't mean to be negative. I'm very positive right now. I really am. Thank you.
All right. Any other thoughts before we wrap this up?
I hate to see them when you're negative.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen me for 2 years negative. I've been a big man for 2 years.
Oh. Pat, just a quick comment. You know, maybe it's going to be a delayed reaction, but we had about as bullish of a report as you could have today, and we're only up 100 points, you know, and that's a little bit disturbing. I think, you know, I don't know if there were some people just trying to paint the close there late, because you had some pretty big volume come in selling right there, you know, late in the day. So, you know, you could have had some specs out there trying to defend their position. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a better reaction tomorrow or in the next day or two. But it was a little bit bothersome that we settled, you know, so far off the high today. You know, we had a high of 70.80. We ended up settling at 69.07. even at 70, 80, you know, we were, you know, we weren't even near, you know, a limit move on about as bullish of a report as you could get. We'll see what happens. You know, seasonally, you have a little bit of a tendency to rally from the August into the September contract, so, or into the September USDA report. So we'll see what happens. I think the next week or two is going to be real interesting in the cotton market.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We want to thank BASF for making this program possible. As you know, they're the owners of Fibermax and Stoneville Cottonseed. We want to thank our speakers. Thanks to OA for leading us today. An interesting meeting, and that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network. Thank you.